I don't know if it's going to be this Proctor kid. I don't know if it's going to be Jalen Tyson. Both of them do have an interesting through line that they're kind of, they're jack of all trades, master of none kind of guys. Like if you ask what's the elite trait, you can't find one between the two of them, but both can handle the ball. Both can shoot a bit. Both can do kind of every defense. They're kind of equipped to do that. Like they're kind of equipped to do everything really well. And if you can't draft superstars, those are the kind of guys who end up being the connective players that really set the difference for teams like the Cavs. And what I like, again, we're not gonna do huge analysis on Proctor or certainly Jalen Tyson,
mm-hmm.
but I do think where the Cavs go from here, and where I hope Kenny Atkinson can separate himself from JB Bickerstaff, is making sure you can still develop young talent while you're winning. And those a lot of coaches can do one of those things. I think Kenny's proven in Brooklyn he can do both. That's what my great hopes are for him here, because that would just add another layer of value to him.
Yeah, I mean, and Proctor did get better with each year, and he got better at the three ball, too, in particular last year. So, like, there is upside there. I think it's interesting. You know, he's 6'5". Some places had him at 6'6". Other places had him at 6'4". But his reach is very impressive. He's supposed to play like a 6'7 type guy. But what's interesting about that to me is that when it comes to these bigger guards, and you notice, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, after Cooper Flagg, the next seven straight picks, Nick, were all guards.
Yeah.
And what was the common theme there? There was one out of those seven that was under 6'4". Like these bigger guards. And obviously the Cavs, we've talked about their guard situation and how you got two undersized combo guards and everything associated with it. But I do think it's interesting. Like the NBA draft paid attention to that, and I think the Cavs paid attention to it as well in their only pick. You know, not just drafting guards, but they drafted guards heavy, but also these bigger guards as well.
After listening to Spencer and just kind of reading the tea leaves this week, does feel like we are getting farther and farther away from any sort of consequential move for the Cavs this year.
That was the vibe Spencer was giving off. I still maintain that Kobe Altman is a wild card of sorts, just like Anthony Elant. He's a little bit of a wild card. And listen, it might end up being the summer of almost, which you've dubbed it. That might end up being the reality of it all. But I remain very open to the idea that there's even trades that we hadn't even thought of that man is willing to pull off.
So I think specific to what you're saying, the reason why I'm saying it's starting to feel like it is, I think there has to be one or two trades before the Cavs make their trade. Meaning I think there are dominoes that have to fall to unlock the Cavs' moves.
Okay.
And I don't think the Durant thing was that, and I don't think the Bane thing was, because I think they're both definitive trades of, no, that's that team being done. Like, maybe the Rockets could get in on Jared Allen, I guess, hypothetically.
I mean, people are suggesting the Rockets can still get in on Giannis right now.
Yeah, I just don't.
Rockets aren't necessarily done themselves.
I think Giannis to San Antonio just makes the most amount of sense if Giannis doesn't want to stay in Milwaukee.
My theory on it right now is that he stays in Milwaukee looking at how easy the East has become. And I say easy, obviously, just relative to the West.
But yeah, like maybe a Jared, because Jared makes $20 million a year, or $25 million, that's nothing. Like that is, in terms of NBA landscape, finding salaries that match $20 to $25 million. And you might be able to get like a Jabari Smith, who allows to give you size and shooting and might pair better with Evan, who can then become your full-time center. But even then, like, okay, then I think you need a true backup center.
So are you calmed down on obviously you're calmed down on the Cavs portion of this, but is that a direct reflection of you maybe being calmed down to the summer of havoc that we were once promised across the NBA?
No, I still think it's going to be crazy. I think the Cavs are right to be to pick and choose where they are. I think it might be end up being paralysis by overanalysis, but like in the end, listen, I think they need to make major moves to get where we want them to go. And I think in the end, they're going to talk themselves into, well, now that the East is the way the East is, our path has never been easier. And my point would be, the path is not what stopped you. Your fit, mm-hmm. Whatever thing that there is between all these players, as much as they like each other,
yeah, like I like the Pacers.
That's what stopped
the Pacers isn't what stopped you.
Yes. And by the way, I think the Pacers would have been the NBA champion if not for Halliburton's injury. But like guys, if the Cavs had pieces to fit around Donovan and Evan, I don't think there's anything that would have stopped the Cavs from winning a championship this year, all due respect to the champs, the Thunder.
The only thing I was worried about all year long was Boston. And then once you had the Tatum injury and everything else associated with it, that was up in smoke.
So I do think, like, I'm maybe I'm starting to allow, hey, the draft's passed and they haven't done diddly squat. I'm not trying to be cynical about it either. We're getting to a point where I'd be surprised, because I think you're going to be able to talk yourself into, well, hey, we kept it all together last year. We ran it back and look how well it worked. And here's the other thing. There's no pressure on the Cavs. Every person who's analyzing the Cavs or teams in the East who might have fallen short of expectations last year, to a man, the thing is, well, the East is wide open and injuries.
Which in turn, I don't feel this way, but most people then would suggest it's risky to go ahead and do something like that. I give GMs credit and presidents of basketball operations. I give them credit in these moments when they put the pedal to the metal, so to speak, and they really try to make it as best as they possibly can. Other people just look at it as too risky.
I also think, and maybe this is fair or unfair, I think people have forgotten how just absolutely disappointing the Cavs bouncing out in the second round was. I think there are a lot of people who analyze the Cavs who are talking about them as a regular season team and not as a postseason team.
Do you think it's just because on a national scale, we just had a lot of teams that ended up being very disappointing?
Yes. Yeah, I think the Cavs have kind of been blotted out by Boston and New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, like, that's okay. That's a pass you can use. But do we want to use a pass, or do we want to win an NBA championship? Because the Cavs will be, listen, as long as they've got these four guys, I think they're going to win a butt ton of regular season games. But the Cavs will tell you this offseason whether they're in the pursuit of winning a championship or the pursuit of almost. And listen, maybe next year, maybe it looks different. Maybe you get bounced out in five games of the Eastern Conference Finals. But we're getting very close to, like, we have so much. I mean, three seasons together for a core. And when I say core, I'm guys like Isaac Okoro, guys like Dean Wade. We have so much information,
right,
that just tells you where they are. And if you disregard that information, that's okay. It really is. Like, winning a lot of games, being a great regular season team, and getting bounced out in short order in one round of the playoffs or another, yeah, a lot of fans are going to be quite happy with that. I just think you've never had a better chance to win an NBA championship, and why not take that swing? Especially in the East, as opposed to, like, the West, where I think some teams are chasing dumb moves.
It's very early. So I'm gonna keep an open mind to the idea that anything can still happen.
The Lead, coming up in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan.